Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. Our first text. Beautiful. What a great family. The Braganza family. And then the great congregation family of Psalm 40. The new birth, the miracle of the new birth, the capacity for spiritual maturity and growth. And this is our blessing, that in troublous times we would have a focus. I want you to do a preliminary view of our message by looking at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Thank you for coming out tonight. It's awesome. Midweek, they go to the gas station and get a tank full, and that's here. To come into the house, I'm amazed. I am blessed. I'm honored. I'm so happy, thankful. I believe more than ever in what it is that we do, what it is that we are saying, what we are believing. We are advancing in maturity. That's our blessing. This is where we are at, and the world needs to hear from us. We have something. Each and every one of us have something. Look at verse 5. Now the end of the commandment, the end result, or where everything is going, the ultimate conclusion, the end of the commandment is the end game, we could say, the end game is charity. But that word is that word agape. End game is agape, out of a pure heart. Okay, so let's make a little diagram here of a scale of some kind, and we put at the top love or agape, and at the bottom we will put the word fear. What's the opposite of love? Fear. Why do we say that? Love casts out fear. Fear. Hatred is an emotion. But there's like emotions that we can put here, and we'll explain this in a minute. But the end game is not fear. End game is what? Love. Where is the love? It's in a pure heart. Look at verse 5, please. Are we happy to read the Bible and learn the Bible? Let's read it out loud together. Ready? This will not be a long message, but a good one. Short, powerful, punchy. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment, read it with me. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, or a faith without hypocrisy. So it says three things there. It says a pure heart. It says conscience. What kind of conscience is it? A good conscience. And what's the third word? Faith. Faith. But is it a phony faith? I mean, is it just a word, faith? Oh, I believe. No, it's faith with substance, without hypocrisy. I believe in my heart. It's in my heart. I am a believer in my heart. I have a good conscience about it. I have love in a pure heart. This is the end game for a believer. This is where we live. I mean, this is why Jesus came, to take a sinful man. At the bottom part of this is where a lot of people live. And there are words for those emotions. And I wrote down a bunch of them here. Oh no, did I bring the wrong book? Oh no. The right pulpit, but the wrong book. Which year is it? Oh, okay, so we can do it. I got it. Yeah, I got it. Here are some emotions down here that are produced from our fallen nature. And we have, as we go in this direction, towards fear. Now, people, if you leave people to themselves, they have a problem with their conscience. The conscience right here in the middle. And what do they usually have in their conscience? They have a message, you are right or you are wrong. But many people carry in their lives this undefined guilt. So right under the conscience, you can put the word guilt. And up above it, you can have the word good. You have a good conscience. That's a gift. That's amazing. I'm free. I'm free. I have the joy. Up here, you have these amazing words, joy and peace. But they're not Christmas words. They are Christmas words, joy to the world. You know, peace to men, goodwill towards men. Yes, those are, but our Christmas, our celebration is all the time. Amen. It's like what's happened to us because God gave us a good conscience. But if I have a conscience that troubles me, I fear, I protect myself, and I have these kind of emotions, regret. I don't think I'll write them down, but I'll just read them to you. I have revenge. I have hatred. I have fear. I protect my interests. I'm defensive. And I find that this fear blocks my compassion. Compassion. Now, there's a number of stories in the Bible that are very touching about how hard-hearted a believer can become. A good example is David when he committed adultery. He committed adultery, time passes, the woman is pregnant. Is David guilty? Yes. Is he walking with God at the moment? No. He swings from the top part of this diagram where there is a good conscience and there is love without love out of a pure heart and faith without hypocrisy, and he goes now to a negative emotional state and mentality. Because emotions and mentality, they go together. What am I thinking? How am I going to get out of my problem? I have guilt that is driving me to have a scheme to take Bathsheba's husband and kill him. Where is David's compassion? It's blocked. How is it blocked? By fear. I have sinned. Somebody may find out. How is the compassion blocked by self-interest? I am interested in myself more than I'm interested in other people. I'm interested in my life. I've got to protect my life. I feel the guilt. I have the insecurity. And so this is why I want to bring us to Psalm 62 and say something about this. But this takes time to digest and follow it with me. I could repeat it with another story. Two prostitutes gave birth to two babies. Each had a baby. One rolled on the baby at night. She wakes up. Her baby is dead. What is it? What's her emotion and mind? Look at the middle. Her conscience. I rolled on my baby. My baby is dead. I love my baby. My baby is gone. What should I do about it? So she's thinking. Where's her compassion? Actually, it's maybe not a time for compassion. It's a time for regret, processing the sorrow, admitting her failure or negligence or taking the blame or admitting as to what happened. I rolled on my baby and my baby is dead. That's very painful. I need help. I need to process this painful situation. But this is what she does. Exactly what Psalm 62, is exactly what Psalm 62 is telling us to do, is what she did not do. This is amazing. We'll read it in a minute, but let's finish the story. Because it's here in this territory where all of us have our problems of processing our lives. You know, this is where we live. You know, somebody is afraid of dying. We're all afraid of dying. But what does that mean in my mind? Do I have to live in the fear? Do I have to be hoping I will never die? I hope I can avoid it. I hope am I living in a lie or denial, or am I going to kind of push it off and never admit it, not talk about it? Don't talk about that subject. I was with somebody not recently, but over the year, and I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about death. I don't want to hear any stories about it. I don't want to talk about it. That's one way of handling it. But the psalmist is saying, I have God. And he's saying in Psalm 62, God is enough. Wow. If you and I can say that, if God is enough for us, it takes faith. But what God has promised us is that he will take us in this direction. Where does my fear go? Love casts out fear. What about my regret, my guilt, my emptiness, my loneliness, all of those things? We are told that God is enough. One thing have I desired that I will go after. But we have a lot of chatter in our soul. And I'm going to read from one line from Timothy Keller on the Psalms that he writes, Psalm 62. And he says this, this battle to shape our hearts with the truths our minds know is never over. The battle to shape our hearts with the truths, like death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Well, it's a great Bible verse, and I have that with a mountain peak on a picture of the mountain peak and the Bible verse, and it's in the bathroom, and there it is. It's beautiful. It's a great verse to quote, but I don't want to die. But it's a battle for me to have my heart and mind embrace that and find God speak to my heart so I don't fear death. That's where our compassion comes from. Because as you go in this direction in your decisions and in your meditation, the chatter, this is the sentence I want to read. He says, when we are in trouble, our soul chatters to us. We have to have this or we won't make it. This must happen or all is lost. The assumption is that God alone will not be enough. Some other circumstance or condition or possession is necessary to be happy and secure. You see, when the woman rolled on her baby and her world is crumbling and she has the chatter in her soul, do something. Do something. So she looks over to the other woman and that baby and switches the babies at night. What a lousy solution that doesn't work on many levels. The true mother knows the baby. I have a baby that's not my own, that does not satisfy me. It ends up in the courtroom in front of the king, and he makes a decision to slice the baby in half and give half to this woman and half to the other. And the woman that was at the lower end of this diagram, who is living in fear and regret without compassion, says, slice the baby in half, I'll take half. Her lack of compassion was blocked by the fear and guilt that she had in her heart. And this is happening in our society. The more that people live in fear, the less compassion will be in their hearts. The more that believers never really find out what the end game is, will struggle in the middle here with soul chatter. And they will say, God is not enough. I need to do this. I need that. I need to go shopping. I need to spend money. I need to go make a phone call. I need to get on Facebook or social media and get this thing straightened out. And does it ever really get straightened out? And when you're at that lower end of an emotional and mental state of mind, then you have this carnality that is operating in your soul, and it's good for you and I to learn who God is. Isn't that amazing? Where is this verse, blocked compassion? It's 1 John 3. I'll read it for you. Chapter 3, verse 17. But whoso has this world's good, like we have world's good. We have money, we have food, we have the world's goods. We have a house or car. If we have these things and we see his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion, how dwells the love of God in him? Why isn't there compassion? My heart is cold. Why? Because when my soul is chattering inside, do this. David, if you figure out how to kill Uriah, like your problem will go away. And to the woman that ruled on the baby, if you just switch the babies, it'll get better. You'll be all right, or whatever the reasoning was, but there was a lack of heart in both stories. And what we want to say tonight is, you and I, both, all of us, we have a battle in the middle where we have to process our life. Is the church really the problem? Or is it me? Is my wife really the problem? I mean, really? Or my kids, or my money, or is it maybe more that I need Psalm 62. So let's go there and read it. We'll finish this up here. Wow, this is so much fun. You guys, I'll tell you, the way you listen, it draws the word right out of us. It's amazing. The way we are hungry, we are on a mission. These are the best days, I'm telling you. We are on a mission. We are cooking. We are moving. There's something good going on. There's something from the Spirit of God. But I got to warn you, because every one of us will be, I hope you can follow me in what I'm saying about that chatter that happens in when I'm in trouble. Every one of us, and it might even be daily, I'm in some kind of trouble. I mean, in my heart. But that's all right. It takes some effort to what we're calling process, but we got all that we need. Let's read Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. David, you should have waited on God after you committed your sin, confessed it, repented, Psalm 51, Psalm 32, and waited on God. God would have had to go, Uriah, one of your best friends would be alive. And he'd be helping you out. You'd be a man of God once again. You have to wait on God. The woman that ruled on her baby in the night, wait on God. Process it. It's hard. It's painful. You messed up. You're guilty. Wait on God. Now God, not people, God. Wait on God. This is good. Verse 1, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my fortress, salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I'll be moved, but not greatly. Remember that good illustration? Remember back when they had those metal antennas on the cars, you know, on the Ford? I mean, the metal, they were in the, and down here on the fender where it's attached, didn't move, but the antenna would swing like this, you know? You know, the antenna, the metal rods would swing. So I move, but not greatly. But down at the bottom, I'm not moved at all. And that comes here in this psalm too. I'm not moved at all. Verse 6 says, I shall not be moved. Am I emotional? Yes, that's God's will. I'm emotional. Is that a bad thing? No, that's how God made us. Emotions are beautiful. Emotions are important. We are to have tears and we're to have a lot of laughter. We're emotional people. We need our emotions operating that we don't get constipated. You know, stuffed up emotionally. But the top of this diagram is love, joy, peace, and a good conscience. And love out of a pure heart. But when my conscience bothers me and I'm troubled in circumstances and I go in fear and I leave God, go with me to the next, it says verse 3, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, David thinking of his enemies. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. He's talking about wicked people that are around him. Maybe wicked people that are in an administration. Wicked people that are at work. Wicked people maybe that are relatives. Or wicked people that are somehow you stumble into them in the course of life. And they bless with their mouth, but not in their heart. So what do you do about it? Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Only God, for my expectation is from him. You know, we grew up in the ministry where we learned this, like this was the way we were taught. And I'm so happy that we carry that with us. Do I need documentation as to who I am? I need God. God can help me. Do I need money in order to live? Yes, okay, but I need God. God will take care of me. God promised it. God is the answer for my life. There's too much looking at other things instead of God. Well, what about COVID or what anything else that is going to happen maybe in the future, maybe worse, something like, I need God, wait on God. God, I will not fear what man can do unto me, or what a pestilence, or what death, or disease, or whatever it is that might happen in our life. I don't know. It may be a disaster tomorrow for me. If it is, I'm in the middle of this diagram, and I want to process life the way the psalmist is saying. I will trust in God and Him alone. Isn't that what it says? Verse 5, my expectation is from Him. Not anger against people. Look at it. You can go, you know what I'm saying. When I go to fear, I easily start to yell at people. When I live in fear, what's happening? You ruined my life. Martha said to Jesus, she wasn't angry, but she said, but if you had been here, my brother had not died. She's trying to handle this. It's amazing. We understand it. And we don't blame anybody. But this is like a warning for us, a way of life. When one of these pastors or me disappoint you, process it the right way. Wait on God. Look unto God. Say, God, I need you. This guy failed me. That was a big disaster in our ministry because people shifted from God to the ministry. They shifted from God, knowing God, walking with God, trusting God, processing life through God. Then when people disappointed them, it was like, ah, what's going on? And the anger and the emotion, the regret, revenge, the anger that came out of people. No. Don't you put your trust in me, sisters and brothers. I'll tell you right up front, straight up, you know that. You know that. And if I fail, and I don't plan to, but if I fail, I'm a human being like we all are, but if I fail, you better process that the right way. Because what's the end game? Tell me again the three things. Love out of a pure heart. What's the end game? A good conscience. My pastor failed me, but I have compassion. I am praying for him, his restoration. I have compassion for the church that is hurt because of what happened in a very bad situation. How about a sister or brother failing me by money or somebody dies? How horrible that would be. It happened with David. It happened. It happens in life. This is Psalm 62. Let's go to it again and keep going. Just to look at it, it's good. Boy, isn't it good? Look at verse. Wait upon God. My expectation is from who? No, wait a minute. My expectation is from greater grace. Go ahead, do that. My expectation is not from the Bible Speaks or Greater Grace or Pastor Shibeli or Schaller or anybody else or Shibley or any other that starts the name that way. And my expectation is not, my expectation is from God. It's from God. It's from God. It's from God. Isn't it? Now look at. It troubles me. It hurts me. I'm troubled. I'm torn up. But yeah, right. We're not denying it, but it's going to bring us to the right place. It's to God. How many guys have we had on security here? And we have a great team of people today, and we've had through the years. But how many guys, it goes to a job. Maybe I work on security, it's a job. No, it's a ministry. And why am I here? How many pastors are here? And maybe some pastors looking for a privilege or an opportunity or something and be very disappointed because there's not much there. But there is God. He is there. How many women get married with hopes that they'll have some money in their pocket? Every other day they can go to Walmart and buy some goodies. And they can go to TJ Maxx and buy, or where, and they can buy some shirt or something, and some goodies, special shoes, dancing shoes. And then they don't have money to put food on the table, and they are in the middle in our picture here. Their conscience, there's the wondering. Who do I blame? How do I figure this out? What should I do about it? And I decide by God's grace that I want to grow. And I'm going to have a disciplined desire. So I can't go to the store. I have to stay home. I don't even have, I know one of our people, they had to clean house to get gas to put in the car to drive their kids to school. And did it without talking about it. How many people struggle in their life, maybe paying bills and doing things, and sometimes they'd love to do, but they can't. They got to discipline their desires. How could I do that? God can teach me. God can teach me to deny myself. God can teach me how to talk. God can teach me not to be involved and meddle into other people's affairs. God can teach me to be confidential. God can teach me to be quiet. And they say that teenagers need to learn to be quiet and process life the right way and not be at that bottom end there. Teenagers that are emotional, yelling about how this isn't right and that isn't right and why did this happen to me and my friends don't have to do that, and many other immature emotional expressions where they need to learn to be quiet and still and wait on God. Quiet your heart. Go to the last part. Verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. That's the not be moved. And then verse 2 is I will not be greatly moved. To God is my salvation. And my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. You can talk to God. Let that chatter go to God and quiet yourself and wait upon him and grow up and be mature. We are in troublous times. The world needs mature people. And we aren't much, but we've got to benefit because God is for us and God can help us. Maybe I'll give a word of comfort. Maybe I'll invite somebody to the church. Maybe I'll lead somebody to the Lord. Maybe I'll just sit quietly and suffer in a certain way and they'll look at you twice. Like, how do you do that? And you can say, God is our comforter. God is our way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is my teacher. I'm learning from God. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard it. It says in the same psalm in verse 10. Wow. Once he spoke, twice I heard it. Maybe I heard it when I was in this time in my life, and then I heard it another time when I was at this time. Maybe I heard it when I was down at this time in fear and trouble. But I heard it. And that's beautiful. That's it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? or this is a day of waiting on you. When I woke up this morning, I just wanted to get real quiet before you and wait upon you. And you have done so much for many of us, Lord. Corrected us, helped us. We're not perfect people, but we have found you. And that's what this is about. If we find you, we will have love out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith without hypocrisy. What a combination. A winning trio. 1, 2, 3 punch to the devil. A message to the world. Maybe we could say that maybe it could be said we don't know. God has done his work with our election process in the United States, with whatever people say or feel about it. But one thing have I desired, and that we are finding that no matter where we find ourselves, love out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith without hypocrisy is incredibly valuable. It'll sing in a jail cell. It'll praise God in the morning. It'll walk by faith. It'll go to a foreign country by faith and preach the gospel. It'll touch hearts. It'll forgive an enemy. It'll pray for people that are hurting and lost. And our country has it. It has a potential of losing compassion and care because of guilt and fear in the soul. But we haven't lost it. We have found it. We walk in it. We enjoy it. Jesus, thank you for our kids, our grandkids, for our missionaries and our people, for the American pastors laboring in the fields. Father, bless them in their work. Help us, lead us, guide us, bless our country. We pray with pure hearts. Bless our country. Bless your people. Turn things around. Raise up righteousness. Turn things by revival. Save souls, start churches, preach the gospel, and do the work, Lord. In your name, we pray. And then anyone listening, come to Jesus tonight. Come by faith. Believe in Jesus personally. Say to Jesus, I need you. I want you. I want you. I want to grow in you. I want to learn of you. Save me tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.